State of the Union, postponed.
Trump and Pelosi can agree on that.
5 dead in Florida bank shooting.
They're just innocent people just living a life. They didn't deserve this at all.
Home insecurity.
Several minutes of, quite frankly, sheer terror.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Furloughed federal workers inside a Senate office building demand an end to the partial government shutdown. The prolonged stalemate has claimed another victim, the State of the Union speech. We're live with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
It's a constitutional game of chicken, and overnight the president swerved, acknowledging that the Speaker of the House has the prerogative to delay the State of the Union. Nancy Pelosi formally told Mr. Trump yesterday that she wouldn't convene the joint session of Congress set for next Tuesday if the shutdown is still on. Overnight, the president tweeted he will do the address when the shutdown is over, that there's no alternative venue that can compete with the House chamber. Pelosi responded, saying she hopes Mr. Trump will back the Democratic proposal that the Senate will take up today to reopen the government for another 2 weeks while negotiations on the wall continue. Now, that isn't likely. The Washington Post reports the administration is now asking agencies to highlight the worst impacts that could occur if the shutdown lasts into the spring. Steve?
On day 34 of the shutdown, the Senate takes up competing spending measures. One has border wall money in it, the other doesn't. Some say the certain failure of both could spark moves to compromise. CBS's Nancy Cordes on Capitol Hill.
One effort that we know about is taking place in the House among Democrats who are cobbling together, talking about a package that would include several billion dollars in border security funding, not necessarily for a wall, but for a lot of other things that are priorities for both Democrats and Republicans, things like technology and border patrol officers, that sort of thing, and that perhaps would allow the White House to say face.
Colette Hall is married to a furloughed federal worker. She has a message to politicians.
This has absolutely got to end because you're causing a lot of suffering. And regardless of what you believe in, whether it's a wall, whether it's no wall, people need your support.
Workers will miss a second paycheck Friday. They still have their health insurance, but they will have to start paying their dental and vision premiums this week or lose out on coverage. CBS's Dean Reynolds has more on IRS workers who are resisting the call to go back to work during the shutdown.
I absolutely live paycheck to paycheck.
Shannon Ellis says she can no longer afford to go to work.
Is it too expensive for gasoline to drive to work?
It's too expensive to put gasoline in. We just don't drive a lot.
An IRS customer service representative, she is among 36,000 from the IRS who the White House ordered back to their desks without pay last week. But Ellis declined, citing a union contract provision which allows her to miss work if it would be a hardship to show up.
Now to Sebring, Florida, where 5 people were shot and killed in a bank standoff that ended when a SWAT vehicle stormed the building. In custody is a former prison guard trainee. Jose Sanchez is a bank customer.
We just don't understand. This is devastating. This is devastating to the town of Sebring and community, which is the safest place you can ever be.
I'm Peter King in Sebring. 21-year-old Zephan Zaver is due to make his first court appearance later this hour. He faces 5 charges of first-degree murder. Investigators are at the SunTrust Bank. They've been there all night long. It's still a crime scene and surrounded by yellow tape. We could find out more about the investigation, perhaps a motive, at a news conference later this morning.
A woman who says she's the suspect's ex-girlfriend tells an Indiana TV station he always hated people and wanted everybody to die. Venezuela's top opposition leader, Juan Guaido, has declared himself the interim president of the country. That sparked a new round of clashes between protesters and police. It's the latest challenge to Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro in a country in the midst of economic upheaval. CBS's Major Garrett says the U.S. now publicly backs Maduro's opponents.
Sources tell CBS News Guaido swore himself in as interim president yesterday and is now in hiding in the capital city of Caracas. Now, the U.S. and most world powers see Maduro as a dictator and regard his recent reelection nothing more than a sham. Now, Maduro says the U.S. has 72 hours to remove its embassy personnel. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said because the United States does not recognize Maduro as legitimate, that order will be ignored.
Former Trump attorney Michael Cohen has postponed his much-anticipated congressional testimony. CBS's Paula Reed.
The surprise move came after Michael Cohen cited threats the president and his attorney Rudy Giuliani allegedly made against his family. Shortly after, the president responded.
He's only been threatened by the truth.
In a statement, Cohen's attorney, Lanny Davis, pointed to threats as recently as this weekend and said Cohen had to put his family and their safety first.
Well, that home security system you have may not be as secure as you think. Live to CBS's Gary Nunn.
Hackers using stolen passwords are finding ways to access some systems. Major tech companies are offering a security feature called two-factor authentication, which this California woman did not have turned on when her security camera began screaming about a nuclear missile attack, which she describes as
several minutes of, quite frankly, sheer terror.
She called the security company, which admitted some of their systems had been hacked. In this case, compromised passwords were used. Brian Bennett of Wired Magazine says
incidents like this remind people that they need to give their devices a second thought.
Best advice, change passwords often and use two-factor authentication, which makes the user take an extra step to prove proper identity. Steve?
Well, the school superintendent in Elwood, Indiana, faces fraud charges after using her insurance to get care for a 15-year-old student who'd been home sick for days with strep. Casey Smitherman went to check on the teen, brought him to a clinic where he was turned away, and at a second she claimed he was her son. Rodney Cummings is the prosecutor.
I understand it was her desire to help a young man that was in bad shape, but probably not the best example to set for young people to assume other identities and make false statements.
She can enter a program that could lead to dismissal of the case. From ABBA to Carole King to Cher, popular music has fueled stage shows. Here comes another.
Michael Jackson lives on. The King of Pop's estate and music producer group Columbia Live Stage have released the name for a musical inspired by the life of the dead pop star. The musical, titled Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, will start with an out-of-town performance in Chicago later this fall. The show is expected to move to Broadway sometime in 2020. The musical will feature songs from across Jackson's massive catalog. Matt Piper, CBS News.
The highest-priced home ever sold in the U.S.? The Wall Street Journal says it's a penthouse overlooking New York Central Park. It went for $238 million. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.